Yes, that's right. It is Wednesday again, and it's time for Snipes and Stripes, and nofilter.net is going to bring it again with my boy Tim Peel. I am Jeremy Roenick. Welcome to show number two of the 24-25 season. Tim, lots to talk about today because obviously we're getting ready to start this weekend with some European games, Jersey and Buffalo. We'll chat about that. But first of all, how you doing this Wednesday?
I'm awesome, buddy. I'm awesome. Good to see you. Yeah, I'm excited. 48 hours from now, we'll have NHL hockey back. I need it because my St. Louis Cardinals suck this year in St. Louis, so there's been nothing to watch. A little NFL right now, but we need hockey. But
that's not, that doesn't happen very often where St. Louis isn't
a part of the playoffs. It's a very spoiled fan base here in St. Louis. So, but no, I'm ready to go. I can't wait. We need hockey back. We got a lot of things to talk about tonight. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah, so Whiskey in the Wild, as you see at the top of your screen, my chocolate and chocolate orange whiskey. Thanks to my team for supporting our show. I just wish I was drinking some right now, but I'm taking a couple days off of the booze. And but I sure will have one this weekend. WhiskeyintheWild.com. Order yours today. You will not be disappointed.
Well, I can tell you've lost weight because you're getting in shape for that Hall of Fame tuxedo that you're going to wear November 11th. So you look fantastic, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. I'm trying. It's hard.
Bet Online is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything football. Bet Online has every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during the games. Think you know your stuff? Get in on the 200,000 mega contest and pick five games against the spread every week for your chance of winning at weekly prizes and a share of $200,000. Wow. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on our game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slots. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Bet Online. The game starts here.
I got to get in on one of those poker games one of these nights.
Well, I suck at poker. I don't have a poker face, so.
but you have a face for radio, so that's okay.
Exactly. why the canoe on my face? No, that's not a canoe. It's my nose.
Oh, jeez. Well, okay. So listen, we're getting ready to start the weekend. So let's just chat where we're starting. We're starting with New Jersey and Buffalo over in Czech Republic, which is I don't know if you've ever been to Prague, but Prague is one of the most beautiful cities on the planet. Their architecture, the history. It is a spectacular city. I highly suggest anybody that has the opportunity go to Prague. You will not be disappointed. And it seems like the guys are having a good time over there. And I always thought it would have been awesome to go over and play and start the season in Europe. I did. We had one little thing where we went to Montreal during the Montreal and Chicago, went to London back in 92 or 93, but it was just preseason. It was kind of bleh. I would like to be able to play some regular season games in front of European crowds because they really know how to root for their hockey.
They do. I had the benefit. I've never been to Prague, but I got to go on one of those NHL trips years ago to Germany, where your daughter lives, and Finland. And in Mannheim, Germany, at the one end of the stadium, they stood and waved flags and chanted like you were at a European soccer game. It gives me chills right now. The atmosphere was unbelievable. They're great fans over there, and it's going to be a great experience for those players. It'll be interesting to see. Can Buffalo get a split out of that? Does Jersey come back with two games under their belt back to North America? What do you think, JR?
Well, I think what's great is you have the great, you have the two new coaches, right? So those are the things to watch. Which coach is going to make the biggest splash right out of the gate? Obviously,
the coach that just got fired too from Jersey.
they all get fired and then they get back in someplace else. It's a regurgitation of coaches all over the place. Obviously, Lindy Ruff, the guy who's been around the longest and now his second stint in Buffalo. I think he's got a tougher job ahead of him than Keith does. And obviously, he knows the city. He knows what the expectations are there. This is a team that has vastly, and when I say vastly, underperformed, I think that's an understatement. Buffalo has arguably the best fans in hockey, and I say the most passionate fans, and I say that because when I used to work for that other television station, every time Buffalo was on air, it was our biggest ratings because all the Buffalo fans were watching.
100%.
And it has been, I should have looked, but what has it been, 7 years, 8 years since Buffalo's been in the playoffs?
Oh, I think they're on year 10 or 12 of their rebuild. So
maybe Nick or Keenan can look it up and tell us how many games. 13 seasons, Nick said it's been. So he's the Buffalo fan there. He would know better than all of us. 13.
It's only a 13-year rebuild, JR. That's all.
Can you just think of that? You can, like, most teams can fall out of bed and make the playoffs 1 year in 13 years, and Buffalo doesn't even get a sniff.
Those poor Buffalo fans, too, as you know, they're the best.
Again, Nick says it's the longest drought in all of sports, which does not surprise me. 13 years, and you're right. By the way, I hear it from, you know, from my guys at the After the Whistle with, you know, just listening to the fans and what they have to deal with, right? Listen to Reve yell. Yeah. My boy Craig Reve, I love Craig Reve. I love Petey, Andrew Peters. Both their show, if you haven't listened to their show After the Whistle, those two do such a great job. But they go bananas on how bad Buffalo is. They scream and yell. They scream at the owner. They scream at the GM. They scream at the coach. They scream at the players. And why can't you? Why shouldn't you? I mean, literally, they have shown they can win hockey games. They go out and they beat some of the best teams in the league, and they do it consistent. Then the next thing you know, they throw up duds. They throw up games that they should win at home. And they look like a peewee team in front of their own fans. And it's shocking that they're still getting season ticket holders there in Buffalo, because after the performances that they've been having for the last 13 years, they need something good to happen. Is Lindy Ruff the guy to do it? This is what I'm asking you.
Well, you know what? I think when they named Lindy as the head coach, I think a lot of people, their eyes roll. They're like, oh, geez, you know, Lindy Ruff regurgitating, like you used the word a second ago, another coach. But I think for that organization, because they've had so much turnover with coaches the last 13 years, I think he brings some stability and some credibility to that staff and to that organization, JR. So I think if there's anybody, I truly believe it, if there's anybody that can turn that organization around, it's Lindy. He cares, as you just alluded to, he cares so much about that team, that fan base. He knows how much that team means to the city. So if anybody can do it, it's Lindy. Do they have the horses in the stable? Personally, I don't think so.
They got a couple new guys up front that are going to help some gritty guys. Sam Lafferty is a grinder. This kid plays hard. He's reliable. He will play any position, and he can play any situation. I like the addition of him. Jordan Greenway, we'll see where he decides to go, because he's had a lot of promise. He has a lot of upside, but just for some reason, consistency has been his problem. So hopefully finding a new home will help. And then Jason Zucker, I mean, he's still got some scoring punch in him, but
he does.
Is that enough offensively to, you know, to help this team, you know, get
I don't know. We'll see. You know, they lost Jeff Skinner in the offseason.
Okay, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? Because Jeff Skinner is the absolute death of playoffs. He is like the jinx of playoffs.
This might be a good thing for Buffalo. Jeff Skinner's the only guy I think that's played in over 1,000 NHL games that has never played in a playoff game. So two things. A, maybe Buffalo does make the playoffs. And two, maybe Jeff Skinner will get an opportunity to play in a playoff game for the Edmonton Oilers. Unless he gets traded at the trade deadline. And can you imagine if he got traded at the trade deadline to a non-playoff team? But chances are, you know what? Jeff Skinner's a very talented player. Jeff Skinner is a phenomenal.
Yeah. We're not taking anything away from his talent. He's definitely very creative, definitely very offensive.
And I think that'll be a great addition to Edmonton, but I think, you know, Jeff Skinner could light it up this year playing with you know, McDavid and Draisaitl and you know, Nugent Hopkins and so on. So he could have a good year, and hopefully
we're going to see, because I don't think Keenan on our chat board is going to be very happy if the Edmonton Oilers miss the playoffs because of Jeff Skinner's because of his bad luck playoff run. But isn't that just the case? He leaves Carolina, right, where he scored a lot of goals, scored 30 goals two times, and then all of a sudden Carolina starts making the playoffs and they have a good team. He went into Buffalo. Buffalo missed the playoffs. He wasn't helping them. And I heard rumors that he was kind of not the greatest in the locker room, a little selfish, which might have created a little bit of unrest, maybe not having the team all coincide like you need to, all together, all as one. Can't have selfishness in the locker room, right? No. For some reason, it's a thorn in the side.
Listen, speaking about playoffs, I don't want to, you know, bring up old news, but I'll send you my Venmo after, because you made a bet with me at the first show last season that Boston wouldn't make the playoffs.
You're right. Hey, listen, then you'll be up 100 when we're on the golf course next week. Okay.
So, listen, at your party on Saturday night at the hockey for the Hall of Fame, just make sure it's an open bar for me, and then we'll call it even. Okay. Like that, I think that's a fair trade off.
All right, I'll make it an open bar for you, but I'll make it an open bar for everybody else too, so I'm not good. I know. I'll have a nice crisp one next week when I get up to St. Louis. Okay, so I'll have to fight for it back on the golf course.
So one thing I want to talk about is preseason games.
Hold on, let's finish this conversation. I think Buffalo comes back 0-2. From Prague. I think New Jersey with the new goaltender, yeah, with the new coach, I think with a healthy team, they made some good offseason moves. I think Jersey is going to have another big year this year. That's my opinion.
I was on a New Jersey Devils podcast today. Shout out to Devils Joint, it's called. Guy Joe had me on. We talked about the Devils the whole time. And, you know, they, Tom Fitzgerald, your friend, they solidified, in my mind, their goaltending problem with picking up Jacob Markstrom. They've got Jake Allen, obviously, as the backup. But picking up Jacob Markstrom from Calgary, I think, solidifies that. They added Pesci to the back end. They added Brendan Dillon, who I love, to the back end. And then they obviously, it's like picking up Dougie Hamilton, because he missed the majority of last year with an injury. This is a playoff team this year.
It is a playoff team. And Nick, obviously, who's up to date on everything that's going on in our chat line, says Hughes and Pesci are injured. So see if they get to play in the first couple of games, not knowing what the roster is going to be.
Yeah.
That'll have a huge impact for sure.
Hughes is going to miss a few weeks, and so is Pesci. But once they're back in the lineup, that's a great hockey team. I think Jersey comes back like you do. I think they come back to North America with two games under their belt.
Speaking of injuries, holy hell, the injuries that are happening in preseason. Like, this is crazy. And I'm not a big preseason guy. I hated it. Like, I would get so pissed in a preseason game if I got hit or somebody hit me. You know, for us, it's just going out and trying to just get into the pace of games and, you know, have a couple games here. But right. I never believed in hitting or getting hit or hitting somebody in preseason. It was always kind of like the unwritten rule, you don't do that. They're not doing that anymore. There's more fights and people hitting and doing all this stupid shit and guys getting hurt in preseason this year. Is the league going to fucking start, or excuse my French, is the league going to start finding out that more games, especially in the beginning of the season, lead to more injuries to start the season?
Yeah, you know what? It's something when I know when you went to training camp, you were probably in pretty good shape. The reason that they had a week or two long training camp years ago is because the guys weren't in shape. They came to training camp to get into shape.
Correct. That's what training camp was for, is to get
it. Correct. But as you know, these players these days, it's a 12-month job for them. They've all got personal trainers. They're all in incredible shape. We'll talk about the injuries in a second. I think a lot like the NFL, we'll see the top quarterbacks. What's the guy in Kansas City? I lost my
Mahomes.
He might play four or five or six plays the whole preseason. He's not playing a whole game. They're not taking the chance of him getting injured. I think most teams right now, they play anywhere between 6 and 8 playoff games. Preseason games. I think they should play 2 or 3 preseason games and then get it going. I think.
Come on, Tim. You know the National Hockey League's not going to do that. You know why? Because preseason brings? It brings tickets. It brings people into the building, and they sell tickets. And guess what they don't have to do in the preseason?
They don't
have to pay the players.
Exactly.
So all that extra money that they get during the preseason, whether it's the hot dogs, the hamburgers, the pizzas, the beers, the Cokes, whatever the case may be, the jerseys that they're selling and the tickets that they're putting butts in the seats, that is all extra money that they can start. So there's no way that they're going to sit there and say, well, our players might be at risk, but we're going to make a couple million bucks because of the preseason, because of having these games at home.
But you know what they should do, and I can't take the idea, I saw it online, is reduce the number of preseason games. And then, so the owners have an opportunity to make that money up, is play an 84-game schedule and reduce. Well, you know what? Let's play 90 games.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's play 90.
But right? The point is, 6 or 8 preseason games, JR, is too much. You touched on the injuries. Let's talk about Patrick Laine.
Well, hold on a second. And plus, like, let's be real here. How many spots are really open for guys to come take at a preseason game in camp?
One,
right? One, two. Like these guys.
I think two's a stretch.
So they already know who their lineup's going to be.
Yeah, they
already know who the roster is going to be. It's just a turnover. Some players come from other teams, but they're NHL players. Get a couple of the young rookies that come in. Some of the guys from the minor leagues that might have a shot, but you don't need 8 games to see all these people. You don't need 8 games to see young kids.
No, you don't. And they, you know, they play a lot of American Hockey League players. They want to see what it's like, you know, they want to watch their prospects and the guys they drafted and all that. I get it, but go watch them in the American Hockey League. Like these veterans, they don't want to go play 6 or 8 games. They don't want to hop on a plane. You know, you ask the guys here in St. Louis, Braden Chen and Parenko and those guys, they want to play 2 or 3 games at home, get their legs, and let's get it going.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think, and you said it right, this is a 12-month for these guys. They take a couple weeks off after the season, and they're right back into the gym staying in shape. They're on the ice in August skating with their buddies, whether it's at home or at their summer place. And then they go to their cities and start skating with the team early. So it's just, the season is so long. It's so grueling. It just adds to so much more punishment and so much more susceptibility to injury. They got to start being a little bit smarter about preseason.
Well, Patrick Laine, you know, that, you know, he was heralded this summer coming into Montreal. You know, it was really going to help that offense. Montreal, I think Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton have done a tremendous job. You know, they've got this Lane Hudson, this defenseman that just looks like a stud. Kirby Dach. They had David Reinbacher. He was a 5th-round pick last year. Now he's out for 5 or 6 months with a knee injury. They got this Logan Mailloux. Like, they're building a good team there. They bring Patrick in, and this guy Cedric Perret sticks out his knee and Lane's out for.
Okay, did he really stick out his knee?
Yeah, he stuck it out. There's no
question. And how do you figure he stuck it out? When I think if you stick it out, your leg actually goes out to the side. See, I have a problem with this, and I'm not saying it wasn't close. I have been hit exactly like this in Chicago by Darrion Hatcher back in 1994. All right, I know exactly the situation. It's happened to me a couple times. And what some people don't understand or don't realize is that the player that gets hit, the player with the puck, should also take some of the brunt of the responsibility, because they're the ones that are literally jumping out of the way and extending their leg and leaving it vulnerable and leaving it right in the middle for something to happen, a knee on knee. Now, what is that defenseman doing? What's Perry going to do? He's stepping up with his legs over here. He's preparing to make a hit. So he's bearing down like this, and his knees are already in position, in a position of contact. Now, I didn't see him stick his leg out.
I disagree.
His knee went straight into his knee, and Laine jumped out, exposing his knee. So I think it's a very, very, it's a very small, it's a fine line. And I don't think it's very hard to determine.
I disagree. I think he stuck his knee out. He knew, I'm not saying that he wanted to injure Laine, but to me, I'm not saying he wanted to hurt him, but to me, it was a reckless play. And it wasn't, and God rest his soul, Brian Marchment, where he would stick out his knee. It wasn't that bad, but he stuck out his knee. I'm sorry, I watched it a lot, and there's no question. And now this guy's
out. There's a question. Just because Tim Peel thinks he stuck out his knee doesn't mean he really stuck out his knee.
Well, I don't know. Maybe referee in 1,362 games. Referee, okay.
You were skating. Would you have called a major on that play?
100%. Major in the game. 100%. Right there. Because when it happened, they didn't call it. And then a shit show ensued after. Arbor Jack Eye went after Pere. He wound up getting fined. Pere turtled. Jack Eye got 2-5-10 in the game. He got kicked out. And if they just had handled it then and given him 5 in a game, then it would have got rid of all that. But,
there's a lot of times we agree and sometimes we disagree. This is one I think I'm going to have to disagree, because I see that kid making his move in to make a hit on Laine as he's coming across. Laine jumps out of the way, leaves his knee exposed. And it goes knee to knee.
I think if that player is Morgan Riley, that play does not happen. I think that if that player is another established NHL defenseman, that play doesn't happen. This is a young guy trying to make the team. I don't fault him for that, trying to make a name for himself. Like I said, he's not going out there to try to injure him, but he's trying to make the team. And to me, it was reckless.
Yeah. That's happened to me 3 times. Once in junior, once in 94 with Hatcher, and once in 99 with Drury in Anaheim. All 3 times I tried to get out of the way and tried to jump out of the way, left my knee behind. And not once did I ever blame them or call them a cheap shot for trying to hit me. They're making a hockey move that, unfortunately, I think both need to take responsibility for where they put their body into. So, but that's bad for Montreal, because they took a chance on Laine.
Yeah, they did.
They took a chance. But when a lot of people are giving up on Laine, you and I being 2 of them, I believe, after some of the shit that we saw last year in Columbus. And that hurts. That hurts Montreal. I think a lot of us would like to see Montreal get back to
absolutely.
I mean, it was nice to see them get to the finals a couple of years back. I'm a Montreal fan, but
I know one guy that would like to see him back, and that's our buddy Joe Manuel. He'd love to see Montreal back. So
yes, he definitely, no question, definitely would. So, but again, all these injuries that are piling up, the teams have to look at it. They have to look about who they're playing, how many games. Start taking care of the kids in preseason. Because there's going to be a lot of man games missed in the beginning of the season by a lot of teams.
Macklin Celebrini.
How about that? I mean, Macklin Celebrini, this is a guy that everybody's been waiting for in San Jose, right?
He's day to day. Can you imagine if he wasn't able to start opening night? That would suck for the San Jose Sharks fans.
It would suck for the league.
For the hockey fans. For us, exactly. You
know, either that or somebody has to step in and just educate these players. Educate these guys that, hey, listen, play out on preseason is meant to be played a certain way. I've seen more fights.
One last thing on that hit, because you don't think it's dirty. This is the way I see it. When I'm going to check a player, because this is Perry coming into the hit, or Pear, I think his name is pronounced Pear, actually, is he comes in square to the player. If I'm going in for a hit, I'm turning my shoulder. I'm turning one of my shoulders to hit this guy. He did not do that on this play. So to me, he was reckless by sticking out his knee because he knew he wasn't going to get a piece of him with his shoulder.
Was he sticking out his knee, or was that the way that he skates?
No, he was sticking out his knee. He's not that bull-legged. Come on.
I think he puts his legs in a position where he's secure and he's taking out the play.
No.
Yep. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I look at it.
Well, that's why.
Anyway. So question, let's move on to another topic, because we really have a 32 NHL roster now, 32 teams, right? Because Utah Hockey Club is now live.
What was it before? It's like 31 and a half.
Yeah. 31 and a half. Yeah. Yeah, 31 and a half. Cause now you have a team who is playing in a city that I think is excited about having a hockey team there. The Utah Hockey Club has done a really good job of bringing in some good quality players, especially on the defensive end. Now, last year, again, they played in a 5,000 seat arena that is really made for college.
That was embarrassing. Awful, embarrassing.
Awful conditions from the top down as ownership goes, right? And I will tell you this, that team played awesome hockey, seeing the situation and the parameters that they had to play among, right? The conditions that they had to play. Yeah. And I think I said this to you last week, there's a player on the team that says, wow, now I know what it's like to be a National Hockey League player. Going into a building and playing. Listen, I'm not. I love Arizona. I love Phoenix. The fans are great there. But again, we talked about the ownership issue and how they were run, and it was run terribly. But now, you know, getting the players that they have brought on. I love Ian Cole. You know Ian Cole from St. Yeah. Louis days. Very, very smart defenseman. They got Sergachev from Tampa. Yeah. I cannot believe that Tampa let this guy go and he's sitting in Utah. That is a quality A1 defenseman in Sergachev. So, and then Portuzo, who you know also from St. Louis. These guys are going to be very good defensively, and their goaltending is young and aggressive, and I think they have a really good upside. But what I really like is they played to an identity last year. Yep. They were one of the few teams in the National Hockey League that actually create an identity. I think the coach did a great job of making sure these guys knew how they were going to win. They weren't going to win with talent. They weren't going to win with track meets. They were going to win with fierce, hot, hard-working hockey, physicality, good defense, and compete for 60 minutes. And I think now, could you imagine the energy and the excitement level that they're going to have in the new building with 20,000 seats? Now, I do know some of the seats are obstructed. I saw a couple of videos of obstructed seats, but still, it's going to be a lot of fun for these guys.
Absolutely. And then you add on Sean Durzi on the back end that they got from LA. Sean Durzi is he's going to be a great young defenseman. Yep. And then Logan Cooley and Clayton Keller. I agree. And I think, you know, I saw a couple of days ago, they're talking about coaches that are on possibly on the hot seat, and Mike Sullivan, John Cooper, and Andre Tourney's name were brought up. To me, I think Andre Tourney has done a tremendous job in the time that he's been in Arizona. Like you said, having that team play in a building that seated 4,000 or 5,000 people. So it's going to be exciting. I think Utah will battle for a playoff spot. I really think they'll battle for a playoff spot. But
they look like they're going to make the playoffs come February. Then March rolls around and all of a sudden they fall into a slump and a dither. They couldn't win a hockey game.
Right.
And pretty much played themselves out of the playoffs, but it looked like they were going to make it for a little while. It's kind of a little bit the same way that Philly was last year, but Philly actually choked worse, unfortunately. But
you know what? A buddy of mine lives in Park City. I said, I'm coming out for the weekend. We're skiing. We're going to a hockey game because you know what? The best thing that Utah has done is Ryan Smith, who owns the team. They released prices the other day for their concessions. $2 bottle of water, $3 box of popcorn, $3 nachos, $3 hot dogs, and $3 ice cream.
Jeez.
I said, good for you guys. Good for you guys for not gouging your fans because you know that plate building's going to be sold out every night for 41 games their first year. And he could have gouged them and charged them whatever he wanted because he knows they're going to sell.
That's good intel. I like stories like that. That's good intel. I mean, in a day and age where tickets are $200, $300, $400 a pop, it's nice that they're getting a break somewhere. So good for Ryan Smith. I love that. That's a great story.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about, this Arbor Jack guy from Montreal.
By the way, it might be one of the coolest names in all of sports, let alone hockey.
Well, and this
Arbor Jack guy.
And this isn't breaking news, but they call him Wi-Fi because his name is spelled Xhekaj, and they say it looks like a Wi-Fi password. This guy is wrecking havoc right now in the preseason. He is hitting everybody. He's killing everybody.
That guy is giving black eye all
He's
over the place.
Giving black eyes, exactly.
Jeez.
He took a run at Tim Stutzle last night. He just missed his head. And then Brady Tkachuk came in and jumped him. And so two things about this story is I love this Jack guy. I every team would love to have a player like him, but also with Brady, cause I really like Ottawa. I think this year with Travis Green behind the bench, they're going to have a great year. They've got Linus Ullmark from Boston, 2023 Vezina winner. They finally have a solid goaltender in Ottawa, so I think Ottawa will make a run for the playoffs. But I'm tired of having to see Brady Tkachuk, the captain, fight every third, fifth, seventh game, whatever it is, or even if he's not fighting, coming in and protecting his players and getting in scrums. They need somebody to come in and take that pressure off him so he doesn't have to do that every night, JR.
Well, that's not his job. I mean, his job is to score goals. He's an offensive guy. Keenan never wanted me to fight, never wanted me to do all that. It's not looked upon very well by coaches when you're the stars of your team or your fighters. You need somebody in there doing that job for him. Now, Brady is a competitive MF-er. Don't get me wrong. You know how tough he is, and he likes to do it. But it's not conducive to the team for wins if you're going to have Brady Tkachuk out, hurt hands, in the penalty box. You need him on the ice. I don't know how the season is going to go, but is Brady going to want to be there? Is he going to play like he wants to be there? Are they going to bring somebody in here to protect him or somebody in there to do a job for him? Or is he going to pull what his brother did and ask for a trade? Obviously, it worked out really pretty good for Matthew. You know, he's got a cup now, and here's Brady's, still schlepping in Ottawa, not making the playoffs. And that's driving him crazy. You know, it makes his dad crazy.
100%. You know, Matthews won a cup. He's played in the playoffs for 2 or 3 years. Brady, unfortunately, hasn't even seen a playoff game yet. And he is a competitor, man. Like, every team would love to have a Brady Tkachuk. They're a little bit different situation because there was only 1 year left in Matthews' deal. And I think Brady's got 5 or 6 years left. He just signed an 8-year deal. So it would have to be, I want to get traded, but I don't think that's his personality. I don't think that's his makeup. He's not that type of guy that would do that. So I'm hoping they can surround him with the right pieces. That there's a reason he was taken 5th or 6th overall in the draft, is because he's got a lot of offensive upside and he's a great leader, but he can't be in the trenches every night fighting everybody else's battles.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, and Nick says he's right. You know, we don't want to see Brady Tkachuk in the stands watching games, watching his brother. You know, we want him in the playoffs. I want to see a Brady Tkachuk in a playoff game. Exactly. Because his competitive level, we've seen what Matthew Tkachuk does, and they're so competitive, the two of them. I'm hoping for Brady that Ottawa can be that team that makes it to the playoffs. It'll be a lot of fun to watch.
I think they've got the team that can make the playoffs. I do.
Well, you said something that's very important, and it'll probably move into our final conversation, and that's Ullmark.
Oh, God.
This was a very good pickup by Ottawa.
Yeah.
Obviously a Vezina trophy from a couple years back. Very good goaltender, and one that Boston gave up and then made their choice of who they were going to keep, which is Jeremy Swayman, because now Boston is in a load of trouble getting ready to start the season, and their number one goaltender that they chose in Jeremy Swayman is not signed.
Right.
And this does not make Don Sweeney look good. Doesn't make Cam Neely look good. And Jeremy Swayman sitting here saying, hey, listen, guys, you're the one that traded Ullmark. I'm a free agent. You guys want me? Now you got to pay for me. Now, you know, we saw that quote by Cam Neely the other day. I have 64 million reasons why Jeremy Swayman should be in the lineup. Is Jeremy Swayman an $8 million player or more?
Well, first of all, and you and I both, you know, have a tremendous amount of respect for Cam Neely, the way he played the game. Was second to none. He was a warrior. But I don't think what he did served any purpose. I don't think it was a good move by Cam. Lewis Gross, Jeremy Swayman's agent, he's got a lot of big clients. He's got William Nylander. He's got Torrey Krug, Rasmus Sundin, Brandon Saad. Pinto, Dumoulin, Achari. This guy's a very respected agent, and I don't like how this is going down in Boston, buddy. And
who's gonna be at blame though? Is Jeremy Swayman gonna be to blame, or is it the Bruins front office?
Were you ever taken to arbitration? Probably not, right?
No.
Okay. We all know what happens when we go to arbitration. You're the worst player we've ever had. You can't backtrack. Your game.
Yeah, all of a sudden, that pizza that you threw up the middle becomes, you know, on the screen.
They are brutal in arbitrations. And for anybody listening that doesn't think this happens, it happens because they're trying to get the price down. And they are giving the arbitrator all these reasons why they shouldn't pay you. And from what I've heard is Swayman was his – feelings were hurt, basically, and he was sour when they went to arbitration a couple years ago because they made him feel like a piece of shit and that he wasn't a good goalie. So then coupled on to this right now with the Bruins management kind of airing their dirty laundry public,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if because Swayman's got them bent over.
Well, actually, you know what? Let's do this. Let's bring on one of our watchers in Keenan. We'll bring Keenan on. He made a nice comment right here, which I think is pretty interesting. So we're going to bring him in. Boston picked up the Yuri Patera from Vancouver. Does that mean Swayman is the next to move? So they did bring in somebody else, and you know, you got to love our. There he is.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Keenan? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm living life down in broadcasting school. I'm loving it, and yeah, just thought I'd hop on and chat here.
Loving the Johnny G Goudreau jersey in the background, buddy. That's fantastic.
That a boy. So yeah. So what's your take on this situation in Boston? Who's going to take the blame? Is it going to be Swayman? Is it the Bruins that kind of screwed up by playing their hand before they got him signed?
Well, it's Boston. I mean, you get rid of Ullmark, you get rid of the other half. It shows you're committed to Swayman, and here they are not giving him what he wants. They're basically trading away the other goalie. Like, hey, we're moving on. What do you want?
What does he want? Is Swayman a $10 million player? Probably what he's probably looking for.
I say so. Like, he can handle the workload. When he was their star in playoffs, he brought them to the second round. Yeah, well, he didn't.
The second round is a far cry from the Stanley Cup.
But I mean, at the same time too, when Allmark's having a bad game, he can go in there and shut the door for a few games. And his goals against average prove it. His save percentage prove it. His well, like they split it pretty much right down the middle. Last year, I think he played 50 out of the 82 games, something like that. But at the same time, I think you got to give him what he wants. Like I said, you traded away Allmark. You left it out there for him to re-sign, showing that you trust him more. Well, here they are, not giving the man what he wants.
And this is always like the big, I think, the debate. A lot of people don't think that a goaltender should make $10 million. I mean, how many goalies are making $10 million right now?
I think Bobrovsky's the only one.
I'll be honest. I don't think a goalie should either. Jimmy Rutherford won two or three cups in Detroit by paying goalies combined between the backup and the starter. Now, this is years ago, $5 million. Jordan Binnington, who would probably be the starter for Team Canada if at the Olympics, is making 6.5. Jeremy Swayman, JR, has played 132 NHL games. 132. That's a small body of work, buddy. I don't think he's worth $10 million. I personally think if they offered him 8x8 or 7.5, yep, whatever it was, then he should take it. But I think $64 million is a lot of money to tie up in a goalie.
Yeah, Nick, you're making a lot of really great comments. By the way, welcome to the show, Nick. I love that you guys continue to be great supporters of ours. You're making a lot of great comments in our chat box. You know, I'd love to hear your perspective. And obviously, I'm sorry we're not talking about Buffalo anymore because that's your team. But
those are my boys.
Okay, so what's your take? You know, you just said something really cool. They're paying on potential now, which I can't stand. But
so yeah, a lot of teams are paying on potential. I mean, Buffalo's a prime example on paying on potential with, you know, Thompson, Cousins, those kind of guys. You look at other teams, that's what they're paying on now. So what it looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, you also had Jack Eichel. They paid him on the same. You had Clayton Keller in Phoenix. They paid him on potential. It's a scary move.
The cap's going up. It's going to continue to go up. So the players are going to want that money. So again,
great point.
He sees that. Pay on the potential of what it's going to be, because you probably look maybe years from now, I'm not saying it's going to be a bargain contract, but again, that $10 million, I mentioned Shesterkin's going to be up for a contract. Like, who knows what the Rangers are going to pay that guy, you know, to be their goalie. And I think right now, like, if they don't win now with him at what he's making, like 6.5, I think they're done.
This is what's going to happen. If they don't get him signed, they got Corposalo from Ottawa. If Corposalo comes in the first 2 weeks, plays out of his mind, that lowers the strength that Lewis Gross and Swayman have. If Corposalo hits the bed for 2 weeks, he's going to get whatever he's asking for right now. That's exactly what's going to happen.
It's a good point.
You see that in the NFL right now too. Like a lot of last year players didn't play in the first week.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? You just don't want this starting a new season, right?
No.
You start a season all excited. You don't want any controversy. And you don't want one of your most important players, you know, sitting in the sidelines waiting for something to happen. So, you
know, I think if any team, though, that it could happen to, the team that has the system and the pedigree, it's the Boston Bruins. They'll figure it out and do it.
Yeah, but that's the Bergeron Chara Boston Bruins. I don't know whether they still have that. Listen,
I thought you were going to fall off last year, though, and they were perfectly fine.
Yeah, you won 100 last year because you
believed them. $1,000 bet, you jackass. $1,000. Listen, this is what Boston should do right now. They should go get Jeremy Brodeur, number 60. He played Tuesday night for the New Jersey Devils. We got to give a shout out, JR, to Marty's son, Jeremy. He's primarily been an East Coast Hockey League player, even played in the SPHL. Got to play for the Devils the other night.
Of course you're throwing the shout out. I love it. I love it.
And got to play. He wore number 60. Marty, as we all know, wore number 30. Got to play in New Jersey. Can you imagine the thrill for him driving up to that building at the Prudential Center and seeing the statue of his dad? Gives me the chills right now. Seeing the statue of his dad suit up in a New Jersey Devils uniform, stop 29 shots against the rival Rangers, and it's an unbelievable story.
I love it. Well, listen, hey, Keenan and Nick, really appreciate you guys being supportive. And by the way, you guys throw some really, really great, great info. So we'll see you guys next week. Appreciate it. Always love hearing from our guys because they bring in so many good points that
they do. You
know, that spark up some of the things that we're saying. So well done by then. And we know that John Duffin's on listening again too. So, you know, it's just nice to see all of our crew back, but I'm telling you, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens. You know, I thought we covered a lot today. We covered a lot.
Yeah. We need hockey. We need hockey back. It's coming back this weekend. I'm excited, buddy. It's going to be a great year. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see how your old team does. You're going into the Hall of Fame as a Chicago Blackhawk, which
you know, it's crazy you said that because the Hall of Fame, it's the Hockey Hall of Fame. They don't do that. They don't do teams. They bring in the player.
Oh, because I was thinking about your press conference the other day in Chicago.
Yeah, I was just there. They were just kind enough to give us the platform with all the media, all that stuff. So,
how do you think your Blackhawks are going to do this year?
You know, I think they made a couple good moves. Did they make the move strong enough to get them to the playoffs? No. You know, I like bringing the big boy in. We love having, obviously, the kid needs protection, right? So to bring in some strength with our guy and Pat Maroon. He's not going to win a Stanley Cup again like he was on the run before, but. You know, to bring in Tara Vinen back to Chicago. I mean, he's going to be a good player on the power play with Bedard.
Tyler Bertuzzi. My,
so this is where I get a little bit squirrely. Tyler Bertuzzi's been on what, four teams now in 2 years, maybe a year and a half, right? He was with Detroit, he was with Toronto, he was with Boston, now he's here with Chicago.
I don't get that. That's scary. JR, I don't get that. Like, I don't understand that. Like, he was a good player with Detroit. I thought he played well in Toronto. I don't know what I'm missing.
He's a hit or miss. He'll either do what his job is, and that's in get in front of the net on the power play, be a tough guy in front of the net, be in those high traffic areas and have pucks go off his ass or off his skate or a nice tip or pick up a rebound. He'll make a couple big hits. I don't see Bertuzzi being the talented player, the guy that is going to put good numbers on the board. I think he's been overrated. I hope he changes my opinion by the way he plays, because I want Chicago to do well. But they need a Taylor Hall to be healthy all year. They need the guidance of their leadership. Foligno, I thought, was a great choice for captain.
No brainer.
They brought in two really good defensemen for this team.
Alec Martinez and TJ Brody. And
TJ Brody, two very good defensemen that are going to, which they needed because their defenseman last year was so bad.
Yeah, it was.
Murphy does his job and Seth Jones can only do so much, but there's no, those defensemen couldn't make a pass and put it into the right person's hands and make an outlet pass so they can get the offense. It was turnover after turnover. It was people just, you know, panicking with pucks and throwing away pucks. They're going to have the puck a little bit more often.
Brody and Martinez can make those plays.
Yes, they sure can. Absolutely. Yes, they sure can. So I'm hoping good things for the Hawks. And it's going to be interesting to see a second year Connor Bedard, how he's going to feel on the ice, his comfortability, his confidence. Last year, I think, of course, understandable. He looked like a deer in the headlights sometimes, like he was scared to death. You know, he's 160 pounds, 165 pounds. He's small. He's 18 years old. Just trying to get the flow. Still had almost a point a game. He would have had a point a game if he stayed healthy. So I am hoping that his confidence grows. I hope he gets a little chippier. I hope he has a little bit more fight and bark in him. That kind of that grittiness that I think you need. Mm-hmm. Because when you're smaller, sometimes you can't let other teams know that you don't want to get hit.
I saw
they'll take advantage of it.
I saw a highlight this morning or last night of him getting into it with somebody in front of the bench. They were trying to push him around, and he was giving it back. And
good,
and that was good to see. I agree.
Well, I'm rooting for Connor Bedard. Kid is an absolute. He is a treat to watch. Talent is unbelievable, but you don't want other teams taking advantage of you physically because they know they can push you out. And that's where Connor needs to grow and mature as an NHL guy. I think the second year, his confidence is going to be a little higher. Yep. And he's a power play specialist. You're going to see him get 45, 50 power play points this year, I think, especially with Tara Vinen out there with him. If Hall stays healthy, do they win 30 games? Questionable.
I think they will. They've got solid goaltending and Mrazek. I think they'll win 30 games. You know,
I hope so because I'm gonna be in a lot of them because I'll be in Chicago a lot and I love that team and I hope my Flyers get back to the playoffs after last year. I know my boy Jonesy's doing a good job getting more people in there and Briere's doing a great job. So hopefully that happens. We already talked about Tortorella. And what a great job he's done in the preseason, bringing in real good community feel, right? Good, like a good atmosphere feel, a lot of love, and you know something to fight for, especially with Johnny Gaudreau bringing his dad in. I thought that was just a really good story that brings
brought him in again this week, and that was good to see.
That's so. Called karma. It's gonna be good karma for Philly because of stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, that's all we have for this week. That was a great show, Snipes and Stripes, right here on NoFilter.net. Thank you for all of our fans watching, chirping in on the chat line. It was awesome. Thanks to Whiskey in the Wild for the support. Thanks to Bet Online and your neck guards. Are your neck guards doing?
Neck guards. I know I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show.
That's all good. That's all good. But we'll see you next Wednesday, right? The season will be started. Teams will be back from Europe. I believe Panthers play first game on Tuesday on either ESPN or TNT. So it'll be a lot of fun watching the defending Stanley Cup champions start their new season, get their banner raised. It's going to be awesome. So we will see you next week. Tim, you brought the goods again this week. Next week, we will see you again. 6 o'clock Central, 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern, right here on NoFilter.net. Snipes and Stripes. We know how to do it. See you next week.
See you, buddy.